Father, we thank you that we can bow down before you this morning, and as we look at another prayer in the Bible, and then always learn so much from these prayers. And then as we get into prayer, we just pray you would find us responsive to your leading, Holy Spirit, and we would be in one accord. And so if others are coming, bring them here safely and enable them to come in late and not miss too much of kind of where's the prayer going kind of a thing. So, Lord, we just thank you. We pray now that you would bind us in one accord, and we would be effective in our fervency and knowing that it is not our faithfulness, which is almost nothing, but it is your great faith. So we stand in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, we're going to have an interesting prayer this morning without a petition in it, and so it ends up being a lot of thanksgiving to the Lord. So we're going to sing To God Be the Glory, the first stanza, and particularly the chorus. We want to pay attention to that. 273. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen.
It sounds pretty good this morning. Wow. Well, turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2, and we're going to basically be talking about, in my terms, the second Noah and the ark almost, because we see here that God prepared this great fish to protect Jonah and to save Jonah, even though at the time it looked like to Jonah that he was being consumed. And so it's such a great situation to look at this a little bit and recognize this prayer. I can't find one word of petition in it. A very interesting prayer, because he's just really he's crying out to the Lord, yes, but then he's praising the Lord all the way through. And I think as we read this prayer, we'll find the first 6-7 verses are all thanksgiving, and then we've got a couple of verses of contrition, and then we've got a verse of rededication and hope and salvation. And we just see the mercy of the Lord here so unbelievably strong. And so just the context you know very well, but verse 3 really gives us a real summary of the context. It said, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And so whenever we start off with a context of fleeing from the presence of the Lord, you know, it's not going to be a very pleasant journey, right? But we see here Jonah then being protected by the Lord as we get into this prayer. And so as we will read it, and then we'll look at it a little bit. Verse 17 of chapter 1. I think that goes with chapter 2, but you know, the chapter breaks are just made by man, so they're not really very accurate a lot of the time. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God, I love it, from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the answer to the prayer, so the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So quite a prayer, isn't it? And of course, Jesus refers to this prayer in the New Testament, just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so shall I be in the center of the earth after his death and prior to his resurrection. And so we see here Jonah in rebellion, and his rebellion, as you know, is prompted by his great love for Israel. And the archenemy of Israel was Assyria at that time. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Jonah had been told by the Lord, commanded by the Lord, go to Nineveh and give the greatest evangelistic message of all time. And, of course, he didn't want to do that because he knew the Lord is a merciful God and the Lord is going to save the Assyrians, and he couldn't bring himself to do it. So he ran the other way, didn't he? And, of course, we know the story. The storm came up, and they cast lots and so forth and ended up throwing Jonah into the sea. And that's where we ended up. And, of course, there's a whole story in that. But we ended up here then with the Lord preparing a great fish to swallow Jonah. And he was in the fish 3 days and three nights. So we see right away that the Lord is really preparing a fish to save him, not to destroy him. And amazing as he prays to the Lord. And I know it's been taught in this scripture that why did Jonah wait 3 days to pray? I personally don't think he did. I think he was praying before then. And I think this is more of a summary prayer at the end. Often we don't have the, you know, the prayers we see Daniel praying for 21 days. And what do we have? We have about 10 verses. He prayed more than 10 verses in 21 days. So we don't have everything given to us in the Bible, I don't think, just what we need. But here we have a summary, I think, of his prayers. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Now, if you notice in this prayer, he is intimate with the scriptures. He quotes Psalm 42:7. He quotes Psalm 31:22. He quotes Psalm 18:6. Do you think he had a candle in the well? Do you think he had his scrolls there and he's rolling them? Oh, I think I want to find Psalm. No, he knew the word. He had it hidden in his heart, didn't he? And so, have you hidden the word of God in your heart? You know, we read into the Psalms, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. And we see an example of this right here. Also, in that same Psalm 119, we see, let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. And then the next verse is, I gave my supplication. Let my supplication come before you. What? And deliver me. Deliver me according to your word. So this is really where Jonah is here. He's crying out to the Lord because of his affliction. And his affliction is pretty much self-wrought because what? He fled from the Lord. And so many of our afflictions are wrought by our own actions. Not all. But this one would seem to be. But we see the faithfulness of the Lord here. He cried to the Lord and what? The Lord answered me. Well, where is he? He's in the belly of hell. But even in the belly of hell, the Lord hears us. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. What a faithful God we have, and how comforting that is. No matter how bad the situation, when we cry to the Lord, he hears us, doesn't he? And we can have assurance of that. We have in the children of Israel crying to the Lord in the slavery and the Egypt, and it says, and God heard their cry. He hears us. He hears us. And then Jonah now, he gets a little bit depressed here because he said, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I've been cast out of your sight. Now, this is not a real pleasant place to be, 3 days and three nights in this fish. And going down and down and down. And he actually believes here that he is under the mountains and he is in the center of the earth. That's a long way. I mean, you know, we think of, oh, when I die, I'm going to be 6 feet under. That's not so far down, is it? But he's in the center of the earth here, really. he says, and I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. I really love that because, good morning, John, because here he is, he's still really thanking the Lord that though he's totally out of his sight, he can look and see the place of worship. He can look and see the place of acceptance with God here. I will look again. He's a man of God. He's been in the holy temple. And I will look again to your holy temple. And then he's fairly describing this. We're in chapter 5 here, John. The water surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep has closed around me. So he's totally, totally apart from the Lord, really, physically, in the worst possible way you could be. Weeds wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings or to the center of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. That's a pretty far off place to be, isn't it? I mean, can you think of a place further from the Lord than down to the center of the earth with its bars closed behind me forever? I mean, that is, and that's the way it would appear to him, wouldn't it? 3 days and three nights in this fish. Yet, you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. You know, in some respects, this has the same flair and feeling of Job, doesn't it? Job, now Job wasn't buried in beneath the surface of the earth, but he was certainly afflicted. And here we have Jonah afflicted as well. But they both, no matter how bad it got, they said, you have brought me up from the life of the pit. So we see, I know that my Redeemer lives here in a way. It almost means the same thing, doesn't it? O Yahweh, my Elohim, or O Lord, my God. And so that's really a thanksgiving, I think, those verses there. He's talking no matter even how bad it has been. In the last 3 days, I'm so far from you. I'm even under the mountains. I could never get out of here. And yet, I'll look again. He says, I'm going to look again. Look at that hope there, right? Isn't that amazing? Man, I would have said, I'll never see your temple again. But he's saying, I will see it again. I will look again. And then at the bottom here, he says, you have brought me up from the pit. You brought my life up from the pit. And isn't that true for each of us? We were destined for nothing but hell. Absolutely, totally deserve it in every sense of the word. And yet, he's brought our lives up from the pit, hasn't he? Yeah. Because of his mercy, not because of anything we've done. And so here's Jonah saying, yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. And then look at the contrition in this next couple of verses here. When my soul fainted within me. So, you know, that's a good thing. And with you and I, when our pride is under control, when we die to self, then we can really remember the Lord. We can really see the Lord so much clearly because our self is out of the way. And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. We have in verse 4 here, really kind of a reference back to Solomon's prayer, where in that prayer he said, when we're really in trouble, Israel, we will once again look to your holy temple. And that's what he's saying in verse 4. And in verse 7 here, that's really a quote, in effect, out of Psalm 18:6. And so there's a contrition there. I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. And then those who regard worthless idols and forsake their own. So he's really talking to two different situations here. One, who are into idolatry, and two, those who have blown it on their own. They have turned from the Lord. He had fled from the Lord, hadn't he? That's what it says over there. He rose and fled from the presence of the Lord. So even those who are in idolatry and those who have gone astray, there is mercy in the Lord, and he says he will sacrifice what? The voice of thanksgiving. That's very similar to Psalm 16, isn't it? It says, what do I do for the Lord? It says, accept the Lord with the cup of salvation with trembling, and I will offer praises of thanksgiving from my heart, the voice of thanksgiving from my lips. And he says, I will pay what I have vowed. there's some difference of opinion on just what this means here. Some think he's even talking about tithing. I don't quite see it that way. It may be. But, you know, he is just saying, Lord, you're mine, and I want you forever. And I'm really giving my life to you, it seems like. And he says, I will pay what I have vowed. Total commitment, it seems to me. And then he closes it by saying what? Salvation is of the Lord. We have that in Psalm 3:8. We have it in Hosea 14:2. We have it over and over again. We have it in Isaiah. But we see salvation is of the Lord. And we know that. But it's good to thank the Lord for that, because apart from that, we have no hope. But that is our living hope, isn't it? Through salvation from the Lord, that the living hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to that inheritance that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for us. So life, new life, eternal life, is of the Lord. So a beautiful prayer, and then we see the answer. The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. He didn't just upchuck him in the middle of the water and let him drown, did he? No, he took him clear out of the deep, clear out of the water, and puts him onto dry land. And that's the way the Lord rescues us, isn't it? He takes us feet out of miry clay and puts it on the solid rock of Christ. And, you know, if you can look back on your life, at least as I look back on my life, what a mess it was in. I mean, it was so twisted and contorted and so messed up. But when you turn to the Lord, you just see him straighten your paths, don't you? Mm-hmm. He will straighten your paths. And, you know, Proverbs 3:5-6 says that. I acknowledge him with all my heart, and he will direct my paths, or he will straighten my way. Father, we thank you for this prayer. And, Lord, it is you, your mercy, your grace. Regardless of the situation we get in, and sometimes we get in these situations through our own actions, sometimes by turning away from you, we know better, but we still do it anyway. And Lord, how awesome it is that you hear our cry, no matter where we are or what the condition. And Lord, the same with those we pray for. You hear our cry for them. Some of them may be so down or so far from you, they don't even cry out to you. But we can cry out for them. And as you put those in our hearts this morning, I just pray that we will pray as you would prompt and direct us to pray. And Lord, we do want to pray for Peggy's mom, Mary, 80-some years old, and does not yet know you. And the fear and the concern with every time she gets sick or whatever, is this her last breath? And as Peggy has said, if my mom only knew the Lord, then it would be great to see her go to be with you. But not yet, Lord. Yes. Not yet. So we want to pray for a release of the bondage, and we want to pray for, as Peggy's moved in with her mom now and caretaking and so forth, that you will bless that. And Lord, if through our prayers the door might be open for even one of us to go visit or whatever, sometimes the mother won't listen to the child, but will listen to a total stranger and be pleasingly accepting you. So whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, we just lift up Mary. And there's a lot of Marys in the world, and there's a lot of the male equivalents in the world, Lord, that don't know you. And so, Lord, direct us in these prayers this morning. And I just thank you for bringing each one here and the fact that you will hear our prayers. And, Lord, we come to you not in any great faith or anything to offer of our own, but we're here to pray, and we stand on the promises of yours in your word. And so direct us now as we go forward in one accord, responding to your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.